Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. 6 minutes after 11 South African time. I want to welcome the beautiful listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal, Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf, Asmal and Company. And of course, our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our beloved engineer brother Bonface, remember it's the 8th of Ramadan, 1442, Yomul Arbi'ah. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning, part 2, the bliss of marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians. To say jazakallahu khair to our brother Yusuf Asmal and thank you to our brother Bonface.
Hussein, let's go to Swaziland. It says if one feels really hungry, dear Mufti Sahab, can he forego eating to join Salah with Jamaat? Because eating would cause him to miss Jamaat. And remember, Mufti Sahab, it's plus Ramadan also. Anonymous brother Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusulli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brother day in Swaziland, Baban, Oman, Zini, I don't know exactly where you are, and I don't know what system you are following. I'll just give you the year in South Africa. Normally what happens is the Adhan will go for Maghrib, and thereafter they will give you 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, and I know some Majids 8 minutes also, but we just work with 3 and 5 or 7 minutes. So my brother, I don't know what's the system by y'all. So that is the best of both worlds. So why must you miss one for the other? When the Adhan goes, you have your water, you have your dates, you have your tea, your samosa, whatever you want. In 7 minutes you can have something, or 5 minutes you can have something. And while you are fasting, you always think, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat this, I'm going to eat this. That is one of the secrets that we break our fast with dates. It gives so much nourishment, so much sabr, and so much patience and stamina that immediately we feel already satisfied to a great extent. And then you read your Maghrib Salat with the Imam, and then you go home, mashallah, you read your 2 sunnats and so forth, and then you go home, and then you have your nice meal, 7-course, 9-course, 10-course meal, no problem. You can't say because you're so hungry, so now you want to eat after Maghrib, and then you know, read your Salat half an hour or so after sunset. So obviously that we can't allow that, and Islam won't allow you that. So remember that you must do the best of both. So you make iftar. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La tazalu ummati bi khairin. The ummah will remain in goodness. Ma ajjalul fitr. As long as they make a haste regarding the iftar and so forth. There's a whole chapter on that. Open targhib wa targhib in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad and so forth. So you will find so many ahadith on that. It's only the kuffar Shia, you must remember, they delay the iftar and so forth. They wait for the stars to come. But similarly, we can't tell you that no, that you must miss Maghrib Salat with Jamaat. No, we will tell you read with Jamaat as well, because you must remember Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people who don't have valid excuse and they read Salat at home, mutakhallifin we call them, lawaharriqanna buyutahum, I will burn their homes and so forth. You go open Musnad Ahmad, you go open Tirmidhi, you go open all that. So you will find the hadith of this nature here. Yeah? So therefore, brother, it's Ramadan, we must make a little bit aage piche, you know, readjust ourselves. And to all of you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Markaz Sahaba, the voice place of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. Just now, that I was telling my wife, you know, my program is going well. In this sense, with Allah's fazal, Allah's mercy, that I have a timetable. I must do this at this time, this at that time, this. You will see, once you have a timetable, then you will achieve much more in less time. You will be much more productive. So you, my brother, don't lead a haphazard life. Har cheez ke liye aap ek nizamul awqat, ek timetable naksha bana lena. So make one timetable in your mind also, if you don't write it down, and you know exactly, this is my tilawat time, this is my resting time, this is my salat time. So like that, you will know exactly how your time will go, and it will be much more productive as well, inshallah.
Ustaz, listen to this question. Sister from Mondio says, since I was 14, I have been following Mufti Saab. And Mufti Saab, whatever Mufti Saab says, your fatwas, your answers, I follow it to the point. So the sister says, now Mufti Saab, I am married with my beloved husband, alhamdulillah. But now there's a problem in the marriage. My husband is insisting that I should go for this vaccine. I don't know if Mufti Saab heard, there's a video going around where people are shaking of this vaccine. Mufti Saab, should I go for it or not? I'm a sister in niqab. Please, Mufti Saab, my husband doesn't agree with everything, but he's insisting I must take the vaccine. Ustad.
My sister, simple example, when your husband is in a good mood, you alone, I don't know, my sister, whether you have children or not, you newly married, whatever the case, your timing has to be perfect. If you're listening to me from the time you're 14 years old, so now you're 24 years old or whatever, so 5, 10 years or more you are listening, alhamdulillah, we thank Almighty Allah for that bounty and favor.
Ameen.
So now, my sister, when he's in a good mood, you heard me giving those two terms, Mauqa-e-Shanasi and Mardam-Shanasi. Mauqa-e-Shanasi, look at the occasion. He must be in a good mood. And you must remember, that is the Mauqa. Then he must be good, in a nice mood. And Mardam-Shanasi, you must know to who you're speaking, how you speak to your children, or how you speak to your parents, how you speak to your husband or wife. It's different all the time. So remember that. So all this must be taken in consideration. Simple explanation I'm giving you. South African government today has accepted this. The J&J vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, all were used as trials. They use Africa, South Africa, as trials. And now you must remember, they made us the guinea pigs, to use that word there. So therefore, so many countries have paused it because of the unintended consequences. All this was rushed, you must remember. So the pharmaceuticals could make abundant, a killing, maximum amount of profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, in minimum time. And see how many first world countries, how many Western countries, all that. So we told you before all this, that these vaccines here, they're haram and they're not permissible. Because you must remember, there's a hidden agenda involved. And if you read what the experts are saying, they say even if you take it, you must remember, you won't see the harm immediately. You might think that, no, I'm feeling well, but 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, then you will see what will happen to you. When all these people are telling us all this, and it's not compulsory, the government also realized that now, how they rushed into this and so forth, and Africa is always treated as, you must remember, the playground for the West. So they will. So it's absolutely haram. We make this fatwa very, very clear on our programs, in our fatwas, in our verdicts, that this what they're telling you now. So you must remember, we say Islamically, this COVID vaccine, totally haram for Muslim, and we must stay far, far away from it.
I see the sister says, 29 years old, happily married, and she says her husband is listening to you, Mufti Saab. He's got a lot of questions to ask you. Ustad.
No problem. My brother, you can ask any time. You must remember that that's what we love. I just teach students now, they're professionals. One is a doctor, one is this accountant, one is what, this, Allah alone knows what. So you must, I tell them, ask whatever you want. That is how I love it. وَحُسْنُ سُؤَالِ نِسْفُ الْعِلْمِ Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that good questions, I have the knowledge. See, I give you one more. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was not even Baal baligh and mature when Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place. Obviously, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam made special dua for him. Allahumma allimhu ta'wil. Ya Allah, jalla wala, teach him the interpretation of the noble Quran. Wa faqihu fi din. Ya Allah, that give him profound, deep understanding of Islam and so forth and so on. So, when people asked him, but you were so young, and how come you became Bahrul Ulum, this ocean of knowledge? He said, Inni sa'ulun wa aqulun. I used to ask a lot of questions, and then I used to use my intelligence, which Almighty Allah gave me, and obviously the barakat and the blessing of the dua of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So remember, if people want to learn, and you don't have hidden agendas and so forth, we encourage you. Don't take anybody's name, any organization's name, and mashallah, pose whatever question you got. We got no problem.
Mufti Sahab, I'm pregnant. Whole family is happy, but my husband not happy. He says he's not ready for this, and he doesn't have money. So then why did he make me pregnant, dear Mufti Sahab? He says I should have just done abortion. He's not interested listening to any alim. I am a student of deen. How can Allah test me like this after my alima studies? Ustad, anonymous.
Sister, you must remember, you say you are an alima. I always tell you all, when it comes to you females, rather use the term taliba. I'm a student and I'm still learning about deen. So that's by the way. Secondly, that when you married this person, then you need to ask yourself also the question, what he's saying is all haram. That, remember, go for abortion. Abortion in Islam is murder. So that's out of the question. You must never listen to him regarding that. Second one is this, doesn't have money. Almighty Allah answers that question as well. Chapter number 6, you must remember, Surah An'am, verse number 151. Almighty Allah states that وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. You can't kill your children. Have a feticide or infanticide. That is what you do. The baby is born, and then you kill her like the Arabs used to do when it was a baby girl and so forth. So all that Islam says is haram. Likewise, while the fetus is there by you, the unborn baby, you go and murder it, that also is haram. So feticide, abortion, infanticide, all haram in Islam. You worried about the money? Quran says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. We will give you the risk. We will give you, remember, and we feed you and for them. The baby will bring barakah in your life. So that is how the Muslim thinks. You must remember that. So whatever it is, remember, you don't listen to him and you keep on making dua. Which dua are you going to read, my sister? You say you're a student and you studied, you should be knowing these duas. You know Surah Yasin is chapter 36. So go to the surah after that, chapter 37, Surah Sawfat, and verse 100, Rabbi Habali Minas Salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me pious offspring and children. Number 2, that Surah 3, this is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua, chapter 37, verse 100, chapter 3, verse 38, the dua of Nabi Zakaria alayhi salam, and what he taught, Allah Ta'ala taught him, read, Rabbi Habli, min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Oh Almighty Allah, grant me such children that are pure and chaste. Innaka sami'u dua. Oh Almighty Allah, that you listen to the du'as, accept my du'as. And third one, the pious people, you must be knowing this one. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us our spouses, grant us our children that are the coolness of the eyes. What your husband is saying, totally haram, out of the question. But my one question to you, sister, if his mentality is like this now, I'm sure about this 99%, that it didn't start like this now. His thinking was lopsided, warped already many years ago. So how come you got married to him when you say you studied the deen of Islam and so forth? Zayf is done already, we can't do anything about it. But remember, therefore I always tell you, three things you must do. Somebody proposes for my daughter, for my son is interested. So we must do some homework, remember. What is the belief structure of that person? The way you are speaking, your husband's aqidah and belief structure puts a lot of things in doubt. Wow. Number two is this, remember, you must make mashura. Ask people, is this person particular, meticulous regarding his salat, where he works, what is his job, all these type of things. And third one, that if you still got doubt, make istikhara, all that. So sometimes, this morning also we had a question like that. This morning I think, Molana, that the lady, she said, I confess, I admit that I got my daughter married to that person, and just because of the mal. And today, because he's very rich, so he's using his money and just sleeping with this lady, that lady, and that lady. So the mother is crying, the daughter is crying, and so forth. So always remember, mistakes, we all make mistakes. There's no question, we all commit sin. But sometime, we go into that mess that ourselves also. But you see, there is taqdeer. Taqdeer is the destiny. There's no question about that. But what taqdeer, there's tadbir. Tadbir is that we also must minimize the risk and so forth and so on. But we just see, he came with a BMW, be my wife. He just came with some fancy presents and so forth. I do bo aru lage. You see, this is very good. That is the point I'm speaking about. So anyway, that is just for the listeners. So all, and beg Allah, we're living in times of fitna and fasad. Remember that. So don't get just carried away. Rather look for a pious person, although he's not so rich and so forth, but his character is there and he'll lead us there. He will never give suggestion to the wife, go make abortion. So that is something that, remember, your husband has to make tawbah, and he doesn't want to listen. Don't listen to me, it's fine. But you have to listen to Allah, my brother. That Allah created us. Otherwise, we're playing with our iman. So you must remember these type of things. Yeah.
Ustad, I love your beautiful advice. I see the sister says, her husband is listening, and he says, Mufti Sahib, I said that I'm not ready for this, and I don't have money to look after the child. Why doesn't Mufti Sahib look after the child then? I think the brother is upset to start.
So my brother, Allah will give you that. I don't know you. I don't know your wife. I didn't make her pregnant, you must remember. Allah says, Allah will give you the risk. That much you believe in the Quran, my brother. You must go to Quran and read Surah 6, verse 151. Allah is telling you that. So you, that much you say you're a Muslim. So have that this thing. We answer the questions as the questions are posed, my brother. You're going to get upset with me. It's not going to harm me anything. I don't know you. You have to sort out your own thinking, your own belief, and make this a happy day for you and your wives. Don't mar the occasion because you're thinking the expenses are so much. That is the Western way, the Kufar way of thinking.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. I see Mrs. Adrian says, I'm listening to you since Ramadan started. Mrs. Adrian Ustad. And she says, please pray for my child. Don't ever forget it. AK. And she says, why are people going against the Holy Bible, the Quran? Mrs. Adrian Ustad.
Now look at this now.
Allahu Akbar.
Just try and juxtapose this, compare this. A non-Muslim lady who's listening to us for years now with Allah's help. Okay, her daughter got some problems. Yes, we pray for her also. And we pray things come good between her and her husband, your son-in-law.
She says her daughter got divorced. Please pray for her, Ustad.
Oh, daughter is divorced already.
She says God knows best, Ustad.
So, you see, that was also in a sad situation. Her daughter got divorced, and just after a few months, I think it was. I don't think even a year. Very sad it is anyway. So, you must remember that sister, that you must now learn from the experience. That don't, you know, once bitten, twice shy. In Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, La yuldagul mu'minu min juhri wahidin marratain. That you don't get stung, you must remember, by from the same place twice. So don't make this mistake that you were Indians and your daughter got married to a white. That's what you told us last time. And then he kept on picking on on you and the family and all this. So you need to learn from all these type of things. So this, I want to draw this attention. The Muslim, when we telling him the Quran does that, he tell me, I must look after the child. But a non-Muslim is saying, but what's wrong with a Muslim?
Allah.
Why don't they believe and see what Quran is saying? Now, is that not questioning that our own faith, our own conviction in our book, the Quran Sharif? So Allah is giving you guarantee. Allah will bring. You know, in life, sometimes you get married to a lady and she's not rich, she's poor. But lo and behold, because both parties were sincere, Allah Ta'ala kaya palat jata hai, and you see she brings so much barakah, and then the children come, this come, you will see. But we must remain positive. If we start making comments like this, I don't want the child, I'm not ready, I'm not this. So we already negative, never mind me, we non-entities. You negative with Almighty Allah, then things will go wrong. That is Hadith Qudsi. Nabi alayhi salam said, Allah Jalla wa'ala states, Ana akunu ala dhwanni abdi bi, I will treat my servant as he thinks of me. So always remain positive. That is my advice. I'm here to give you advices. I'm here to give you fatwas. So that is our function. And remember that whether you like, don't like, that's your business.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us who start. Mr. Adrian says, I'd rather listen to Mufti AK and rather become a Muslim and get married to a Muslim before you start. She thought she gets married to a Muslim and got divorced to your start. You rather advise.
No. That is my advice to you. To you, mother and daughter. You are listening to us and now you went through a traumatic experience. Divorce is not something good. Any person goes through it, it leaves you traumatized. You must remember that. So therefore, Islam said, Abghadul halali ilallahi at-talaq. The most hated and detested thing which is permissible in Islam, in by Allah, is talaq, is divorce. The hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood. So therefore, remember your mother and daughter, you all should think about this, that you're listening to us. So maybe it's time for you to become Muslim, and then you cry to Allah, you beg Allah, Ya Allah, give me a good Muslim husband, and so forth and so on. I mean, that is how we all learn from our mistakes, and we become better human beings and ambassadors of Islam. So really, it's a good suggestion. You should think about it. I always say, we will never impose Islam upon you. From you, yourself, it must come. In Islam alone lies my salvation.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see Bart says, they need a lashing, dear Mufti Saab. Don't waste time, lash them. And I see and Dr. Saab says, is an employment contract permissible between a parent and a child, where the parent is the employer and the child is the employee? The child is baligh, Dr. Saab Ustad.
It depends what you mean. You must remember, if your son, for example, is working in your surgery, or is working in your shop, or you are now. So one side, if you look at the coin, you are father and son. But on the other side, you're a working relationship. So not only will we say permissible, we will say is highly recommended. Dr. Saab, I presume, assume you are an Indian. I'm Indian as well. Muslim first and then Indian. Our Indian culture is this. I am the father. I have three sons. I have two daughters. Daughters are married. Fine. They're happily married. Example I'm giving. Now we, the sons, are working in the shop. Now we are saying, I'm there 5 years, my other brother is 10 years, the other one is 20 years. But everything is just running. We don't know our designation. Am I a director in the business? Am I a partner in the business? Am I an employee in the business? Our Indian mentality is what? I want to buy a car, the shop will pay. I want the house, the shop will pay. I want this, the shop. Or I just take money from the till myself and just carry on, which is very, very unhealthy. Now when I pass away, the father passes away, these three sons are Skopskit and Donner, they're fighting. Because inheritance, they're all going to inherit the equal amount. 1 million, 1 million, 1 million. But that son who worked for 20 years, the son who worked for 10 years, they will object to on me, I'm the younger son, but you only worked for 5 years. Oh, the son never even worked in the shop. He was still in school. So, or madrasa, whatever the case might be. So because of our negligence of not having the contract, not having any designation, not having having everything done properly, we just get it on, you know, hope for the best. So, Dr. Saab, if you're speaking of that, then in Islam, not only permissible, that is highly, highly recommended, because that will impact on the inheritance and many, many issues. So, you know our Indians, how we work. Majority, we just chala kare, you know. So, he carries on. We will fix up. By the time we fix up, the old man passed away. The father is gone. And now the sons all fighting. And then you must get their wives involved. Then is all big problems. So I don't know if you are speaking of that. So that is 100%. But if you are speaking about your duties, for you, Dr. Saab, and for every father to maintain and sustain and look after their children, if they are daughters, from the womb, from the day of birth, right till the day of marriage, and after marriage, then with a husband, he must take care of the lady, his wife, till death. So from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave, Islam made it such, the lady, the female is taken care of. And you must remember your son, that if you're speaking what is compulsory upon you, compulsory is till the age of 15, 16, you can stretch it maybe till 1-2 years this way, there. Not more. I went overseas at the age of 17. My father just did me a favor. He paid for everything. I was offered, you understand, by the Mehman organization, this organization. My father said, we don't take a cent. It's my son, I'll pay for it. And I'm very, very happy that was what happened. Allah Ta'ala grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. So the point I'm making is this. So one is what is compulsory upon you. And one is ihsan, what favors you are doing for your son. You send him university, you open a shop for him, you bought a car for him. All that falls under Mimbabil Ihsan. You're just doing him a favor. It was not compulsory upon you to do so. So it just depends what we're talking about, Dr. Saab.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dr. Saab, say we're speaking about the first situation that you mentioned, Ustaz.
Right, that's very good. Doctor, you must have everything in writing. Remember that. Because when the other sons come, or your daughters come, they get married, then the son-in-law, he'll put more chabi. You know chabi? Yeah. They also add a lot of things. You must remember that. Say, tell your father like this. Tell him like this. We don't want only the tablets and the vaccines. We want the rokla. We want the cash. Yeah. So must remember.
Somebody says, Ustaz, assalamu alaikum, Mufti brother. He says, according to the Hanafi fiqh, I have a question. Me and my wife have married last year, January, the 23rd of January, 2020. Ustaz, he said, in the month Ramadan, I assume maybe last year, I give her one talaq per email. And after 3 days, I have taken her back from my mother's place. My mother and father said to me, to do this never ever again. Was this a good solving? Anonymous brother, Ustaz.
Very good that you took her back, because what you did, you gave her one, this is according to your question, you gave her one talaq raj'i, one revocable divorce. Then Quran Kareem teaches us, chapter 2, verses 227, 228, all that. So you must read it. وَبُؤُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ أَرَادُ إِصْلَاحَ. That you, after you gave one talaq, then you can take your wife back. So you took her back during the iddat, you don't have to renew the marriage and so forth. Then your parents gave you wonderful advice. They told you, son, in future you don't write talaq, you don't email it, you don't utter it. You must stay with your wife. Marriage is a partnership. We are partners in duk and suk. We are partners in happiness, and we are partners at the time of difficulty as well. It's a partnership. It's not a dictatorship. So very good. Now you must stay nicely. This Ramadan, don't let your head go again, zigzag and so forth. You say, now I'll give another talaq. No. So whenever there is ups and downs, you cry to Allah. Now read with me, brother. I think you're a foreigner. Rabban, Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Surah chapter 25, verse 74. And daily start today. And today is Wednesday. And after Zuhr, dua as I accepted. The hadith is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his work Al-Adabul Mufrad. Between Zohar and Asr on a Wednesday, du'as are accepted. So remember, you and your wife both make du'a. And you read Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Allah. Read, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. Ya Allah, create the love between us. The bodies are meeting, but the hearts are not meeting. We want the hearts to meet. Once the hearts meet, then there's unity of thought and both parties go in the same direction. So that is what is required.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Yes, the listener is a foreigner, Ustad. I don't know which country, just says one of the African countries, Ustad.
No problem. You got any time question, you send message, my brother.
Ustad, our beloved senior Ustad, Mufti Siraj, told me to tell Mufti AK to sort this problem on the air. And this, a lot of people are doing this in the month of Ramadan. But he told me that it's just to be decreed, and of course, don't take the person's name. I did send Mufti Sab that message this morning, from Nelspruit, to speak about kafara. Please, because my husband and I committed a major action whilst fasting, please. He's just in denial. So Mufti Siraj told me just to ask you, so Ustad can touch this on the bliss of marriage, not tomorrow on the Muslim Masail, Ustad.
Okay, remember, we need to understand the terminology regarding Ramadan. People confuse the two. Somebody's father, mother, or any person, can be a son or whatever. So they are very, very old. Or they are chronically, terminally ill. So the person doesn't have energy, he can never fast again according to the doctors and the medical personnel and fraternity, that's the prognosis. Or the person, remember, is so ill, got this sickness, that sickness, Allah forbid, you must remember. So they can't fast, so they have to pay fidya. Our people sometimes they use the word kafara, that's wrong. The term is fidya. Almighty Allah has mentioned it in Surah 2, verse 184. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتْرِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ تُعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. The fidya in South Africa is 30 rand per day, per person. So for whole Ramadan, 900 rand, and you round it off, 1,000 rand, all the better. Even Quran is encouraging us, فَمَنْ تَتَوَّى فَوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. So فَمَنْ تَتَوَّى خَيْرًا فَوَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. That person gives more is all the better, right? So remember that, so better 1,000, but minimum 900 rand you give. To who? To poor Muslim people who are entitled to receive zakat. So that is fidya. Then remember, these people cannot fast now and they can't keep qaza in future. The wife is pregnant, breastfeeding, all that, these laws don't apply. That because you will get better, and remember, you have to keep qaza and all that. Okay? So that's one. What is kafara? During the month of Ramadan, a person, both of them are fasting, husband and wife and so forth. And remember, they remember their fasting. There's no uzar, there is no valid excuse, there's no illness, there's no sickness. Deliberately, intentionally, that person or that husband, wife, desecrate the sanctity of Ramadan. And in that case there, they went to have husband-wife relationship during the fasting hours. So in a case like that, remember, one qaza is compulsory and thereafter 60 fast. The one qaza is your fast is broken. Mm-hmm. And the 60 is a penalty. Kafara means penalty. Fidya means compensation. So why did you desecrate the sanctity of Ramadan and you did so deliberately, intentionally? It was not a person ate by mistake or something like that. Deliberately you had to do it. And there's no excuse and so forth. So you must remember in a case like that, so both of you, husband and wife, are guilty, make sincere tawbah and fast. After Eid, you have to fast one qada and then 60 fast consecutively. The wife will say, what about my menses in between? That doesn't matter. You fast 20 days, 25, 30 days, whatever the case. Then your menses come 7 days, 6 days. Then after that, you continue. You kept 25, then after your menses, ghusl, everything, then you continue with 26 fasts like that. And you, the husband, 60 fasts consecutively. Because the crime you committed is such a major crime, so therefore the penalty and the punishment has to suit the crime as well.
I see there's one more question, sir, before we go for an ad break. There's a sister in Secunda, a revered sister. She says, Mufti Sab, I did not know all this. You're telling me, Mufti Sab. But yesterday, me and my husband, we were just playing together, fondling, but we didn't do anything, but we both became napak. Ustad, what must we do? Ustad, Secunda.
You see, that is why we tell you all, you must listen to these programs. Our aim is to educate the ummah. The ummah just carries on. Therefore, my brother Suleiman Esop and myself, Mondays to Thursdays daily, between 2 and half past 2, 2:30, we have a special Ramadan time Q&A. So now husband and wife, they say, no, let's make some musti, you see. So the musti can be expensive musti. Musti means it's fooling around. So now they were kissing, then they were fondling, then this, then that, and then ejaculation took place. So, but you didn't do A to Z, you didn't go and commit the crime of fulfilling, you understand, conjugal rights. So in that case there, where there was ejaculation, that your semen, your money and all that, so in a case like that, your fast is broken and one qada is compulsory. I'm explaining to you three maslas. I want all of you to know this. Number one, you just touch your wife, you understand, a peck on the neck, you understood, and then there was discharge. The madhi came out. So madhi is pre-seminal fluid. So there the wuzu breaks, but your fast is valid. But you mustn't carry on. So remember, if it is pre-seminal fluid, we call it madhi, M-A-Z-I. So remember, the fast is valid. First one finish. Second one, you went on, kiss, does that, and you kiss, French kiss, German kiss, all that, where the saliva gets transferred from one mouth to the other, the fast is broken also. So you were fondling, caressing, touching, all that, and then ejaculation took place. Remember where the money came out, so the semen and so forth, money, M-A-N-I, so the fast is broken and qada is compulsory. And third one, you went A to Z, did everything, then one qada. And remember kafara, that 60 fast consecutively. So three separate terminology. One is called madhi. The fast will be valid, and that is pre-seminal fluid. One is ejaculation, but no husband-wife relationship, meaning no intercourse. So there qada. And where you went everything, that conjugal rights, intercourse, then qada and kafara.
13 minutes to 12 o'clock. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Wednesday morning. I see a lot of mummies are listening this morning. Continue with the bliss of marriage, Mawlana Arafat. Wallahi, Allah give Mufti Sahab till the age of 90 years old. This is a sister from Binoni Ustad. Somebody says here, can we give to those organizations, Ustad, donations? I'm using the word donations, who closed the masajid last year and don't want to say anything about the Shias. Ustad, I would like to remain anonymous.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before we respond to that, there are two other responses I must make. Number one is this, that I think that sister, I think it was Azadwell, what we do, sister or brother, whatever it is,
sister,
sister, that remember all my programs, remember that we have a podcast made, so what you must do is, you must just send me a message. So I'm giving you my number, the WhatsApp number, 071-888-1184. 071-888-1184. And you can just put your name, surname, whatever you want to put. This morning I didn't know what is the person's name, so I just saw the phone number. I put number 60 or number 80 or whatever that, because I cannot go up and down there. I get 400-500 messages a day. So anyway, so they're all in a group now, and then everything we send out, they get it, mashallah, and receive it. So you want to know all these masail, all these laws, all that, so just send me that and you will receive it there, right? We got groups running and all that on WhatsApp. It makes life easy like that. So that's number one. To you, my sister Binoni, aware, 90 years old. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, A'maru ummati bayna sitteen wa sab'een, that the average age of this ummah is between 60 and 70. And I'm exactly there between the two, so you can understand that now. And there's another one point, but anyway. So yesterday was 20th April, was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Milad Mubarak, 20th Allah. April. So just add another point there that you will know also. So,
Allah.
You got it, Bolala?
She was that.
Right. So you must remember that as well. Okay. So that's finished. 90 years old, we say, Ya Allah, keep us alive for your deen.
Ameen.
We become a khadim of your deen. That's every day we make dua. Ya Allah, and second dua, I want all of you to learn this dua. All all, young and old. A hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-haram. You know, when you go Makkah, Medina, you say haram Sharif with a ha. This is not with a ha, this is with a ha. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-haram. And it's Bukhari Sharif hadith. Ya Allah, you protect me from muhtaji. I saw people, millionaires, but when they came in the ending of their life, they could not pick up one teaspoon. They couldn't drink water. They couldn't go bathroom, nothing. So we must never become, Allah protect us, we become a burden on people. So Allah give us siha, afiyah, good health, and keep us with safety, comfort. So that is, and then how long that Allah alone knows, but our aim must be to serve the deen of Islam and protect the deen and propagate the deen. And which deen? The deen of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now this ties in with this question you asked. See, I made this, I will make this noise right till the day I die.
I mean,
you must remember that those organizations who closed the masajid, who went to court and all that last year Ramadan, is unprecedented in human history. From Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time right till now. You see, Hazrat Muhammad Qasim Shema, rahimahullah, started Darul Uloom, Newcastle, where I taught, you understood. I was there in Newcastle for 20 years, alhamdulillah. Muhammad Arafat studied there also, and so forth. So anyway, cut long story. In 1983, for the first time in South African history, we had locally qualified ulama. Seven of them graduated, four already passed away. Now Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So this came as a disgrace for South Africa, that the whole world knows in South Africa, Maulvis, Imam, Sheikh, Muftis, call whatever you want, going to court and say the masajid must be closed. This is what happened. No sense beating around the bush and all that. So mistakes we all make. I make mistakes, we sins. So apologize, but they don't want to apologize. So we say that once they are guilty of that, Kain and Mankan, whichever organization it is, whether it's Cape Town, whether it's Johannesburg, whether it's Durban, wherever it can be, we say our fatwa, you must not give them 1 cent. You understood? And you can quote me wherever you want. Whether it's Lillah, whether it's Zakat, whether it's Sadqah, nothing. Because what they did is unprecedented. It is a stain on this ummah. Remember that. Indelible stain. Remember that. Ek dabba hai. Ummat par. Remember. And on the ulama fraternity, it is. So, absolute disgrace. That's one. Second one, not to make public statements against the Kuffar Shia is a crime. How do you stand in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anh? How do you stand in front of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anh? You know the incident of Karbala took place. It was a Friday that I went to Karbala. That area is called Karbala. That Maidan is called Maidan-e-Tafuf. In 2000, I was there with Allah's help and mercy. So remember, it was Maidan-e-Tafuf. The area is Karbala. The country is Iraq. It was the day of Ashura. It was a Friday. And it was 61 years after the Hijrah. So 50 years after the demise of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Sayyidina Zainul Abideen, the son of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, he is a witness to the massacre and the martyrdom of his father. He posed the same question to the Shias and asked them, tomorrow, بِأَيِّ عَيْنٍ تَنْزُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ. How will you face and look at Nabi alayhi salam? You kuffar Shias. He didn't use the word kuffar in the starting. Afterwards he used it. So he told them, you are the ones that you قَاتَلْتُمْ إِتْرَتِي. You murdered my grandson, my family. وَانْتَهَكْتُمْ هُرْمَتِي. And you desecrated our sublime, exalted rank, the family of Nabi alayhi salam, the Ahlul Bayt. فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell you, you don't belong to this ummah. Yeah. This is Hazrat Zainul Abideen. His fatwa, and not in my books and Ahlul Sunnah, Sunni books. This is in Shia books. They gave me the books. Anybody want, I can show it to you. So you must remember this, that the Shia book, so ihtijaj by Tabarasi, prophecy is written there, so you must remember. So Shia are kuffar. Can you have doubt in people who are cursing, swearing, Sayyidina Abu Bakr? Swearing, cursing, Sayyidina Umar. Anybody wants it, ask me for Shia club and I'll send it to you. So I still have it on my phone. I sent it to so many people. And remember, they curse Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Aisha openly. They call them terrorists. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. That kuffar Shia got no sense, you know. He even said, if you commit sodomy with your wife while they fasting, then, and you go in the back passage, Allah forbid, her fast, the wife's fast don't break, and then and there's no ghusl upon her. This is Shia's. Khomeini writes from the kuffar that the book, they gave me all these books. Tawdihul Masail, you make muta prostitution for 1 hour. But our maulvis, our sheikhs, because money is sweeter than honey, I'm not prepared to make a public statement and say that the Shia is a kuffar. Who is selling out Islam? Who is not defending the deen? And you want to give them money? It's an absolute disgrace. Remember that. We say absolutely not permissible. All these organizations, whoever it is, I told you 100 times, we don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. Our function must be to defend the deen of Islam. Ameen. And give our life if the need arises. Hmm. That is Islam. Not this, that boot licking. You understand? Hmm. And selling Islam and becoming scholars for dollars. That is not Islam. Make that clear. Let me make it clear on all these issues.
Hmm. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Could you please assist us with this query, Ustad? A Shafi lady is married into a Hanafi family. She's pregnant at the moment and not fasting. Does she have to pay fidya and pay in the fast later, or only pay in the fast afterwards to start?
Remember, whether you Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki, Ambalibi, all Muslims, alhamdulillah, and you got married, alhamdulillah, very, very good. Now you, the lady, she's a Shafi'i. This is the 3-4 things you should know. Number one, Hanafis and Hanbali state that the nifas period, the maximum is 40 days. Shafi'is and Maliki say the maximum postnatal nifas period is 60 days. So that you should know, first one. Second one, because you are pregnant and you are expecting, so you are not fasting, so that's fine. It's permissible, that according to all schools. Now, what is the issue? The issue is qadha is compulsory upon you after you give birth, after your nifas, after your breastfeeding, you're back to normal and so forth. So then you must fast. It's compulsory. Then we see that why did you not fast? Because of your own health, or because of the you were fearing for the fetus, or you, what was the reason? So if it is because of your own health and so forth, so then it's qada. If it was because of the fetus and so forth and so on, so then when you keep the qada before next year, 2022, so Ramadan, then you will fast qada and you will pay 10 rand, 15 rand per fast according to Shafi'i, if the fear and concern was for the unborn baby and the fetus. So that is the Shafi'i school. Remember that. So, but if it's for own yourself, then you just keep qada and that's fine. And if you're not sure, then just keep qada and just give fidya as well. It's cheap, 10, 15 rand per day it is. So you just pay lump sum like that and that will be fine. So, but that last option is not permissible. You can't say, because I follow the Shafi'i school or Maliki school or Hanbali school or Hanafi school and I'm pregnant or I'm breastfeeding, so I'll just make payment and I won't keep qada, that is definitely not an option. Mm. Remember, qada will be compulsory for all of you who are pregnant and breastfeeding. So whenever you feel better, you recover, you are clean and so forth, then qada will be compulsory.
Mm. I see the brother in land says, but dear Mufti Sahib, do you think the senior ulama, they won't speak against the Shias? I think Mufti Sahib should retract your statement, and we've got everything on Hisab Kitab. We do take donations to start.
So you must remember that. Show me where's the fatwa. Mm. You show me where's the fatwa. So show me publicly, or you all are going on TV, you all are going on radio. So go and make the announcement. That is our challenge to you and your Maulvis. Make the announcement that the Shia kuffar. So why don't you do it?
Allah.
So we are telling you this from the past 2-3 years. That's why we kept our name Markaz Ahlu Sunnah, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Because the ulama of South Africa, majority of them, I don't say all, but majority of them are not prepared to make that statement. You must remember. Why? Because you're getting money. You got Hisab Kitab? Yes. Because the Shias are giving you money. You must remember that. Because the Shia agents are giving you money. You should have. Your Nurul Islam and all that. Didn't we send out all that? I'm asking you, where you want to put your face now? So remember that you took money from the Shias, you should hang your head in shame, man. So you must remember the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the enemies you must remember of Sahaba, the enemies of Islam, and you'll take money from them. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. It's documented. We got it there. We sent it out. And therefore, this book is out, Ummati, Ummati, to expose all these things here. Remember this. We have to do this. Because people tell that. That's why Imam Abu Hanifa told Imam Abu Yusuf, when people continue with their vices and evil, you must name them and shame them.
Allahu,
so that is what
Allah.
So that is what Islam is teaching. We don't curry favor with anybody. We challenge you and your Maulvis, go on your TV, you'll go on TV, go on your radio stations and say she has a kufar. I want to see when you're going to do that.
He says, I rest my case and move to that. You know the Ikasa law. We are not allowed to do that.
Don't talk nonsense, man. Don't come tell me nonsense, please. Don't come. I was with CII and I should say Shia the Kuffar. So don't come with your, that nonsense, please. That you sell the deen and come tell me about the Casa lawyer. So don't come talk nonsense here, please. So you must remember, you must give your evidence and don't come tell me about this law and all that. So you must say that the money is the main criteria. That's why. And you don't want to upset the government. Speak the truth. Because you feel the government will get upset. That is the main reason. And the money is rolling in. Give the real reasons, brother. So don't come with fairy tales and try and pull the wool over the eyes. Okay. So you see, don't defend the indefensible.
Allahu Akbar.
That we speak Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Takbir!
We speak about Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless. So anyway, my brother, our time is up. Nice speaking to you. So anyway, you must remember 12 o'clock is news, and inshallah after that Moana Suleiman Katani, and then 1 o'clock is Azan, and then remember we'll continue with the Tafsir Surah to Shuara and verses 23 to 35. Inshallah we'll discuss today, and then 1:30 to 2 you must remember is Surah An'am, verses 146 to 150, and remember 2 to 2:30 will be the special Ramadan Q and A, 2:30 to 3, Mona Ridwan Kaji, and then 3:00 to 3:30, 3:35, remember the repeat of the Q&A, and then around 3:40 or so, Brother Amin Templeton, inshallah, right till you must 5 o'clock, and then Durban, inshallah, will take over with Hafiz Wadi. Always my last parting shot and advice. This is not about politics. This is not about scoring points. This is our Iman. Our Iman has to tell us we have to say that we belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. If you can say Qadianis are kuffar, then what is the problem in saying Shias are kuffar? Simple question. So you must remember that. So you say Qadianis are kuffar, so what is the problem in saying Shias are kuffar? Why you can't say? Because the money comes from there and some of their agents. May Allah protect us from selling the deen. We must use the protect the deen and promote the deen. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There you heard it. Money is sweeter than honey. Fadilatul Ustad, the voice of the voiceless. 12 o'clock news with Haji.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.